Thank you. Approval of the minutes, April 11th and 24th.
So moved.
Second.
Any additions or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Sean?
Good morning again. This is a follow-up to the request to accept and appropriate from the Office of Indigent Legal Services funding, as I set forth and I sent out some attachments in the ILS approved budget modifications for distribution number 11. And that's for year one contract in the amount of $123,875.77, and distribution 12 contract year one in the amount of $70,299. As we move forward, the years two and three of both of those contracts will be put into the budgets for 24 and 25. Distribution 11, that contract represents a three-year funding total of $402,157.32, and distribution 12 is $210,897 for a sum total for both contracts of $613,054.32. These distributions were housed with the Conflict Defender's Office, and now that we're not filling those positions and moving forward with the conflict office, I did a budget modification to redistribute these funds for both my office and the assigned counsel program to continue to further ILS's quest for the best indigent representation and to make sure that caseload caps stay where they need to be.
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you much.
You're welcome. Tim, morning.
Good morning. I have one item for you this morning. This is acceptance of the FY22 State Interoperable Communications Targeted Grant. This is specifically a special grant outline for those agencies doing specific projects from the state. This is a four-county regional grant. Our portion is $5,846,500. This is going to allow us to build a regional communication system with our partner agencies in Allegheny, Schuyler, and Chemung.
I move it.
Second.
So what happens after we build it? Cost-wise, maintenance, so on.
So the nice thing with this is it's going to allow us to be able to partner between the four counties to be able to distribute maintenance costs between the four counties. So what this construction will do was allow us to have a core here in Steuben with a redundant backup in Allegheny. And then Schuyler and Chemung are going to come into that core with us. So basically, it'll be four regions on one radio network, or four counties on one radio network.
And we do anticipate, I mean, it's tough to say after what just happened in the state budget with the Medicaid funding, but yeah. We do anticipate, because these grants come from your cell phone surcharges, as we've talked about in many years past. We anticipate these grants to continue. So very likely working with Tim, like we do currently, to build maintenance costs into those grant budgets.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other discussion? Yes.
I'm just curious, the maintenance costs you're sharing with all the other counties, who's the stakeholder of managing those costs and distributing the costs?
So basically what we'll do is probably it'll come to us, and then we'll distribute and balance that out between the four counties. This is not unlike what we do with a lot of other regional grants. We have a regional hazmat grant. We do very similar things in that particular grant. Skyler's the fiduciary partner. That's yet to be worked out in the governance. Governance is all part of this on how the system is going to operate and maintain and run.
I'll make the motion.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I think we already had a motion in a second.
Sorry.
That's okay, Jeff.
Opposed? Carries.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
I was just getting ahead. I was making the motion for Judy.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. Yeah. Second.
There you go. You got a motion and a second for Judy.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
There you go.
Look at that. We're all over it.
I think we were all here, so.
Community service, Glenn.
Good morning. We're here to seek your approval to enter into a contract with Veterans One Stop Center of Western New York to provide peer services to veterans in the county. They would hire a full-time veteran to work as a peer here in our county, and they would work in conjunction with the Veterans Department and Community Services to make connections with veterans that are in need of services. So probably very likely with the jails, emergency departments, adult protective services, to connect with veterans that are struggling and that are not involved in a lot of services already. A third of the budget is also for hosting events aimed at veterans so that they can come together to support each other and also make connections to this peer. It would be a one-year contract for $100,000 funded entirely by grant money we already received from the state.
Motion.
Second.
Who identified the need for this program and who reached out to them to establish a contract like this?
So the state identified the need for the program and sent the money. And we did an RFP to solicit proposals to run the program for peer services because the grant money is aimed specifically at that. And we received one proposal from One Stop.
And so these Dwyer grants used to be competitive grants where only a few counties would receive them. Two state budgets ago, or a state budget ago, not the current one that they just passed, a state budget ago, they recognized how well those programs were going. And instead of making it competitive, allocated X number of dollars, ours was $105,000 based on population to each county for these services.
Now, do we have them hire the person and have the program in place before we send them a contract payment?
Very likely we'd have to see the contract terms. That's generally how it goes, is if they don't have any expenses, we bill based upon we reimburse based upon their expenses.
Okay. So it is a reimbursement. We don't just send them $100,000 and then wait for them to get rolling.
Never. Okay. The auditor won't let that happen. So it's kind of almost again.
Auditor, accountant, you know, yeah, we
yeah.
Don't like that.
Yeah. It's in if there's goods we pay up front because we pay when the goods come, but a service like this, it gets billed as you go.
Okay. And then the contract as part of it, will we get regular reports on how many veterans they're reaching and who would be responsible for referring people to this program?
So we would get quarterly reports from them. Gary Smith and I would get quarterly reports from them. And that's what we would work with when they hire the veteran to work as the peer. That peer is going to work with us to get connected to the local people that would be referring the veterans. Okay. So like the police department. I'm thinking it's probably going to be more like adult protective services, the emergency departments, the local physicians, because it really is targeted towards veterans who are struggling but aren't already connected. Mm-hmm.
And there aren't any other organizations in our area that do this. And I'm assuming you're basing that based on the fact you put out an RFP and nobody responded.
Right.
Yes.
Is that everything?
Good job. So how far is it? How wide is it? Or statewide, multi-states?
So it's Veteran One Stop Center of Western New York is what they're currently called, but now they were all of Western New York out to Allegheny County. Now they've moved in already to Livingston and Yates County and hopefully into Steuben County at this point, hopefully. So
yeah, they're already successfully running this program in Erie, Niagara, Livingston, and one other county. And then they're also
Yates County.
Yates, and they're co-running it in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus counties right now.
So we have something to look at to continue to, to grow. Yeah. Okay.
Did we get a motion on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Mr. Rose. Morning, Eric.
Morning. First item, requesting authorization to create and appropriate the following funds from 699 account road improvement to County Route 41 over Cutler Creek, E41-01, Town of Corning, in the amount of $200,000.
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
These are the items that you approved at Public Works as well. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Next item, requesting authorization to create and appropriate CHIPS funding for the following projects from 699 in the amount of $3,200,000 for true and leveling of a road with a new 2-inch asphalt overlay for the following road projects that were listed.
Motion.
Second.
How do we come up with these roads?
Our Cornell reviewing them. We check them. Some we have planned before we didn't get to. Some held up better than we thought. So it's just, you know, reviewing it when the winter leaves us and checking to see what needs or where we've had problems.
So we're still using the same program. Yes.
The 5-year plan, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
One thing on that, if I could, we just received yesterday the official letter from the state, Eric did, on the formal allocation of CHIPS funding, and it looks like we got a little bit more than we anticipated, so we're likely going to ask for a special Public Works Finance Committee before the board meeting this month so that we can have accept the rest of that.
Yep.
Thanks, Chad. Great. Next item, requesting authorization to appropriate $61,329 from account 699 to D511000 surface treatment 544215 for oil and stone projects.
Motion. Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you.
Last item. Requesting to transfer $500,000 from the gas collection account to Bath Landfill 7 and 8 construction for the removal of bedrock change order.
Motion. Second.
We discussed this a little bit, but can we use that rock that's being taken out?
Yes. Yes. And
join the meeting.
We're hoping number wise, we're obviously safe with this, but it's going to be surveyed. We discussed that. It's going to be surveyed so we know exactly what we're taking in bedrock versus soil. So we have an accurate read on that as well.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
That's all I have.
All right. John?
So what's the additional CHIPS funding? Do we know the amount?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's give or take about $600,000.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
You want to do the IT one now? We were just thinking up here and talking. It probably would be good to get a motion, if you're willing, to spend out of the IT capital project. It's called ERP or EDP, the EDP capital project for the Microsoft 365 that we discussed. And it was 336.90.
Motion. 336.90.
I made a motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
You got it. Okay, Tim.
No, he'll do this. 300.
Miners.
30,000.
Very straight, simple. Are there any questions on the purchase order report? Good. The transfer report?
No, it was pretty small. It looked good.
It's short this month, I thought. It's like, is that right? There's hardly any. What was next?
No question on purchase orders.
No question.
Budget transfers. Any questions?
Anything on the financial
summary, select departments?
Well, I was a little concerned over the landfill. I seem to be losing revenues there.
Yeah.
Some thousand dollars. Is there a reason?
I haven't followed up on that. I mean, we are, that would only reflect the March revenues at this point. It wouldn't reflect April because we wouldn't bill April until May. So it, but theoretically that's also the case for the prior year as well. So I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, it's down just, like 200,000 to
240.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the big items for the past number of years. Their Corning's remediation of the Houghton plot. We were receiving the debris and had quite a bit come to us over the past 3-4 years. This was planned on being the last year, so it sounds like just talking that has slowed down a little bit, but there is more coming, like Eric said. But you know, we were averaging, I don't know, $400,000 or $500,000 a year in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The landfill, the capital and equipment, is that accumulating some of this, the land for the new cell?
Yes.
Expenses?
Yep.
Okay. Sure. And the, you know, if we're talking about revenue numbers, the revenue at the jail continues to decline. I'm not sure where we ended up plugging that number into the budget, but it seems like the decline is going to be continuing.
Just as a point of interest, there's a to talk about all the other parts of the city that could possibly have issues.
Oh, okay.
Parts of the city?
The remediation.
Anything else on the financial summary?
Oh, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Any other questions on the financial summary? Overtime, temporary hire, any questions there?
The overtime in social services from 22 to 23 is almost double. Any ideas there?
Recruitment. We've, like every other department, have had vacant positions that we've had a tough time recruiting for. So thus the need for more overtime.
Okay.
So in some areas, the overtime is going down, especially like in the jail because of hiring new COs.
Hiring, retaining, yep. Being able to keep full-timers, part-timers. Jail population certainly does that, but in general, a general statement is, you know, areas where you see overtime stabilizing or going down have had better luck recruiting, I would say.
So what are the areas that we're not able to recruit? Is it just in the highway or?
No, actually, highway is doing pretty well. We're doing well there. It really is social services, community services to a certain extent. And then it, I would say past that, it's kind of scattershot. We still have a lot of COs that are open, but because of, and that we're recruiting for, but because of the population right now, it's been able to manage it without too much fluctuation. And then a lot of it is just scattershot by title. Some titles, when we get the list back, we see they're, you know, 15, 20 deep, which is good. Some we see are very short. So
do we think we're going to see an increased population in the jail simply because of the judges now have some more scrutiny as to bail?
It's a good question. I'm probably not educated enough to say. I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, if it goes from, I don't think we ever get back up to the 200-ish that we had. I mean, right now we're averaging 135 at any given point in time. I doubt we get back up to the 200 that we were at, but do we get to 150 again, 160 maybe.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell because, I mean, a lot of these people that were released before that weren't being housed go out and keep doing things that they would be released anyways. It's not a crime that would require incarceration. So it's kind of wait and see what that does.
Anything else on that?
Where are we? Corrections, schedule of corrections under 2,500.
Right. Is this report okay? I mean, this is kind of how it used to come through on, well, will continue to come through on resolution one, but is there any more information that you would want? This is just for your review with our new authorization that only
gave her authority to do that.
Okay.
Only corrections over 2,500 will go to the full board.
You're good.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Mitch has some things and, you know,
setting date for foreclosure. Thank you, Terry.
Yep. Good morning. So the first item I have for you to consider is establishing the date and time for the delinquent real property tax auction. And we're proposing July 5th through July 12th.
Do you need a motion to do that? So moved.
Second.
All right, just one auction?
We have an alternative date just as a just in case of August 2nd through August 9th. But yes, we're only planning to do one.
Mitch, how many?
You need to turn on your microphone, Hilda.
How many do you think will be in the auction this time?
My guess is usually we end up right around 100, but right now it's between 130 and 140 properties.
So what would make us look at the second date?
If something does not sell in the first auction,
do we have a minimum that we have to put in?
No. In the auction, you mean?
Yeah, the second date. If there's five left over, we can go over that.
We really don't plan to use that. Some of it might be, in case there was a delay, there's a new judge involved. So we don't know if the timeline will be what it's traditionally been or longer. So we just have that just in case.
Just in case.
All right. You want to amend that situation to include that just in case?
It's in the resolution.
It's in the resolution.
It's in there, yes. John.
All right.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
So the next item is related, and I would actually defer to Jen on some of this as to whether we need to go in executive session or not. But the notice to bidders in terms of sale are pretty similar to what you've seen in the past. The only difference would be the last item, number 34, which is a reference to an Appendix A, which we have done before when we have properties with discharges of petroleum in the past that we're auctioning. And that's essentially what Appendix A is about. And I would defer to Jen if you wanted to talk about that further now or later in executive session.
Anything we need to know extra?
We should probably have a quick discussion in executive session. It is currently in the application, so it's active litigation. So I don't want to discuss it too much in open session, but we should talk about it real quick.
All right. Anything else before we go in executive?
Well, I do have a couple of questions. First,
yep.
Are we moving forward to put the Corning Courthouse in the auction?
Yes, you had a motion to declare it surplus. So the plan is to add it with the caveat that if partners we're working with found a resolution that it could be pulled.
Okay.
So short answer, yes.
Okay. And then the only other thing before we went into executive session that I would like to ask a question about is if you had any discussion on the final budget and as it relates to assigned council rates, do we have a, if that's can be discussed in open?
Yeah. So the rates were set at $158 an hour for all parts. So that essentially doubles the cost of assigned council. It appears as though, and we're all waiting for exact details as to how that's going to work, but it appears as though this ILS had, I don't know if you'd call it surplus, but they had available funding that was, they viewed it to be allocated for other purposes in the future. The state identified that funding was about $90 million or something to apply to offset the county's costs. So we should be able to, most of that increase, the way that it looks, we should be able to recoup county or recoup state funding for. But again, local cost will increase.
Yeah, it's up in the air. I've seen different interpretations on whether it's an $8 increase to the county or whether it's a $45 an hour increase, because some things are saying that ILS is picking up the 50% of the new money, and some things are saying that ILS is picking up 50% of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
There is.
That $400,000 county expense difference.
Yeah, my assumption based on the $90 million, because we've talked about that at NYSAC, was that it was the whole. But again, we haven't seen the final resolution from them. So worst case scenario, like Jen said, you're talking about multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars of increased county cost, or essentially nothing at this point. But again, that's for first year. My concern is the out years, because they're using this available ILS funding for this state budget year. Mm-hmm. But what are they going to do next year? Are they going to plug that with state funding, or is it going to be dropped on us? My fear is it gets dropped on us. So even if we don't have, you know, a large increase, if we're lucky, this year, we could face that next year.
Sure. Well, you had alluded to some other budget items too. So it sounds like we might be facing a more interesting budget season for this next year and for the future.
It'll be challenging. The loss of the FMAP funding is significant. So it will.
That's the other funding you've been talking about that they owed us money for, and now we're not going to get that?
Yeah, they owed us. So we carry roughly $2.5 million in current year, but they owe us about 4.6 in back years, and they're planning on keeping both. So the 4.5 really, you know, it's not going to impact when we go into it. We're not going to be $4.5 million in the hole.
Right.
We're going to be more like 2.5 in the hole, which is huge. So it will be I would say it's going to be a much more challenging budget this time around.
Thank you.
So I guess the problem with this whole thing is that we have this money on the book sitting out there that they owe us. I'm assuming that's been picked up as revenue at some point.
Some, but yes and no, because in some ways we carry it as expected revenue, but in other areas it's.
What does that have to do with the fund balance?
Yeah. No, our fund balance is what our fund balance is. We don't have that anticipated revenue booked into that fund balance number, I don't believe. We do. Sure. So, we'd have to get much more detailed in that, and around budget time, we certainly can for you or sooner, but another way that we capture it is by what we budget for in our Medicaid spend, because we have the Medicaid cap, but because of this funding, we've been historically below that, but we've still budgeted that conservatively. So we've hedged on this funding a little conservative. So we, for that overall Medicaid budget, the roughly $20 million, which is our statutory cap, we haven't hit that in a few years. So we've budgeted conservatively on the expense. So if we don't get that revenue, it's not going to be that big of a hit. So I don't anticipate that the, you know, $6.5-7 million is going to be wiped out of fund balance. It's something I'd say significantly lower than that, probably a few million.
And we don't have the ability to, I mean, I'm sure other counties are facing the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no ability to put a group of us together and fight that.
There's discussions actively right now about that.
I mean, it just seems like, so for us, we've been talking about all kinds of different things in eliminating that extra mortgage tax and doing all these other things. And now if we're going to lose another $2.5 million of funding, that could put us in a kind of bad position.
Yeah, it will. And unfortunately, because of the way that the state is doing this through administrative action, there is the talk of collective action for this, but from a budgeting standpoint, that action will take
years,
quite a long time. So we're going to be facing building in the loss of that revenue into the budget. Again, because we've hedged like we always do on the more conservative side for expenses, not knowing what's going to happen with that revenue, I'd say we're in better shape than a lot.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be tough.
Yes.
Yeah, this is why we work so hard on our budget and look at every item out there. So if we run into a problem like this, at least we have something to fall back on. And once these numbers are thrown out, the Finance Committee might want to meet in July, August to just look at a summary of where we are and what we may have to do to keep the tax levy down. So just a possibility out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I have a question about the courthouse in Corning. If it does go out on the auction, can we set a minimum bid? No?
Yeah.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Because when the Masonic Temple went out on the auction, I think somebody bought it for $35.
Yeah.
And it's been sitting there for years, falling apart.
Yeah, you can set a minimum. We can discuss that. I guess we'll probably know more in June.
And I want to thank Eric for the fencing that went up. I don't know if he's still here. The fencing is much more protective in front, mm-hmm. so that people, because I've seen people trying to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions before we go into executive? Motion, please.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
He was trying to do the
carries.